DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Price.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you.
Samantha.
I am gonna have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James, and on the phone, in the most MacGyverish thing I've ever done, is
Big Jim.
Yeah.
Sexy. Oh, damn it.
Clown shoes.
It's interesting that it actually came through during a phone call. So here's the thing. There's a phone number in Portland that calls me almost daily, like Monday through Friday. And
Dan, I told you not
I'll answer.
To call Jim.
When I can't answer, I answer. I'm like, ah, hello. And they're like, is Shandor there? I'm like, no, there's no one here named Shandor. It's still me. Still Jim, the guy who answered the phone.
Every
who always
time.
Answers the phone. Jim, like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was somebody else.
Breathe.
Yeah, I don't know like if somebody else either like cloned my phone or, but I mean, you would assume like after, I don't know, the third attempt, that the number is obviously incorrect, that there's a number kind of transfixed or something, but they still try every single day. And I'm like, nope, still me, still not the person you're looking for. Shandor the Story Weaver is not present. He has disappeared off this plane. He has gone back to Omicron Persei 8, where he belongs. What are you talking about? I don't know. I'm talking madness because I'm a crazy person and you keep calling me.
Have you ever considered they just want to be your friend, Jim?
I have considered that, but I'm very standoffish. Like in a bar fight, I have a bottle that's broken at one end, and just sort of like keeping people at bay. That's kind of how I live my life now. Just trying to just keep people at a broken bottle's length from me. I have full up on friends. I got like a full acre of people that I like, that I hang out with. I have no more room until one of you dies or gets deported.
Wait, can we back up a little bit? A full acre? Are you keeping all your friends on a farm, Jim?
It's very humane. Okay, there's a bowl for food and there's a bowl for water. If you get those two mixed up, that's kind of on you. You know,
members
it's not
the
a camp.
In during the hot days.
Yeah, we douse them. You know, we throw some water. I think there's like a tree for shade. Like there's one tree that everyone tries. Like penguins, but like only instead of trying to keep. Yeah. It's kind of like reverse penguins. They're not trying to keep warm. They're trying to keep, like, you know, from dying of heat stroke. So they sort of alternate, you know, here and there.
You know what I love about doing a podcast with Jim is every week you delve a little bit deeper into the multifaceted layer that is Jim, and you get a little more skeeved out.
Right.
Just a little.
What's really interesting is the fact that you never get anywhere close to the nougaty center of my madness. Like there is a
because there is so many layers to go through,
and on top of that, your nougaty center is saved for most of your meats, buddy.
I'm like a Russian nesting doll inside an onion, inside a mall, inside a floating like fortress in the fucking deepest parts of space. Like you get to glimpse me every once in a while, but you'll never get to see. Truly deep, that delicious nougaty center, like I said, of
but
madness.
You can
so.
Buy it at Big Jim's Butchery.
Oh, yes.
Big Jim's Butchery and Smoke Shop.
If you take a piece of raw meat and put it up to your ear, you can hear what I'm thinking. Just no one ever does. No one ever does that.
Well, I'm doing that tonight now.
Right?
That's all. Well, I saw that Dan, I guess, had a barbecue not too long ago, and he had some delicious-looking, very sensual meats on his barbecue.
I did. They were just waiting for you, buddy.
You know, that's but the few regrets that I have in life are just not being able to defile meat when I see it.
Right?
Well,
I'll be honest with you, buddy. If you come back to Portland, I will supply you meats to defile all day.
Hmm.
Age 18 years, so it's legal.
Yeah.
That's an offer that James has never given me before.
See?
He likes to make light of the fact that I have this, you know, sexual picadillo, but not quite really feeds into it.
I call it culinary artistry.
I feed one of your other vices, and that is booze, my friend.
One hand drinks the other, or washes the other, so...
I provide you the booze to get the meat drunk that Dan will provide.
I got you covered, big guy.
This sounds like we're getting set up to do human trafficking. I think we should back away from this before the CIA bursts into all of our windows.
I say no, we embrace it. First of all, I'm outside, so there are no windows. My neighbors are thinking, like, you know.
There are a lot of laser sights pointed at you, though.
Is that what they are? Is that what that is? That is so
weird. Be careful
weird.
They don't get in your eye. They will blind you.
It's like those pictures of Jesus. Like, you just, like, you know, like Jesus the sniper. Not Jesus, like the religious thing, but Jesus the sniper.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you brought that up, Jim.
What?
Bree and I were at a sporting goods store, and the guy behind the gun counter kept showing us guns, and he kept giving Bree sniper rifles.
I mean, come on.
I have never been more afraid of my wife than when she was handling fucking sniper rifles. Like, they were, like, her children.
Did she groan? Did she make, like, a little, like, guttural, like...
Oh, my God. She, like... I think she came 7 or 8 times.
Well, she faked it 3, because, you know...
No, I know when she fakes it. Come on.
Phrasing.
Every married man.
She's
but, no, you should be more afraid of the guy behind the...
Right?
You should be more afraid of the guy behind the counter, because he can take one look at Bree and be like, okay, she's obviously a contract killer. I need to give her the best tools for the job.
They did, like, shake hands kind of odd, like they knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
She gave him, like, a wink. Mm-hmm.
Did they use a secret code word, like Tubalcain or something like that, where it's just sort of like, oh, okay, you're down with the clown. I got you.
Well, he did ask her if she had the time, and she did give some, like, weird answer about not wearing a watch when she had a watch on.
Yeah.
So,
like, you talk about my layers of not knowing, my huge question marks that you have, that I have in my life, in my world. She lives with you. She sleeps next to you, I'm assuming. That, or she suspends herself from the ceiling, kind of like a bat or something like that. But still,
well,
she's in the same room
wife.
As you. Again, I've subscribed to her newsletter. Who'snext.com is a really great website, so you should just sort of check that out. Because when your name's on it, that's going to be the last week you get to live.
Well, you know, I did, I don't know if you know this, but I did sell the rights to Courteous Assassin, Inc. to my wife. Well, sell is a strong word. I was strong-armed out of the business.
You were convinced, enthusiastically.
but yeah, she owns it now. And I think she's taking off the courtesy part.
It's just Assassin Inc. Which, I mean, if you're going to be a contract killer, kind of on the nose when it comes to names, I'm not judging, I'm not critiquing, I'm
she
not trying
to...
She
will listen to this, so be careful.
Oh, well, she always... Her ears and eyes are everywhere, my friend. I had a dream about her once that I never told anyone about, and the next time I saw her, she's like, I know about the rabbits. I'm like, holy shit, how did she fucking know?
Well, see, I have another theory, too, because, like, you know, Bryce, quote-unquote, had a kid. I think he's been on, like, long-term assignment.
What do you mean, quote-unquote? There's a small human being that came out of his wife. Yeah, no, that's
it's
not...
It's a stunt
no
child.
Were you there, Jim? Did you watch it happen?
Oh, I was watching via Facebook. They live-streamed it. Really disturbing,
for the most
part.
I think it's just a really small little person that he's working with as a partner.
You think maybe it's something like where it was like originally like a dwarf or a little person, but he just kind of whittled them down like with like a little whittling knife.
Exactly.
And just made them smaller, into like an infant shape, and then he's going to get more and more and just sort of shave off a little less each time until eventually it gets to be like a toddler size.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him. Bryce is a very unique squirrel, so to speak.
He's very good at what he does, and what he does is not very nice. But it pays well.
He has a very particular set of whittling knives, and you really don't want to be on the business end.
And if you're not careful, he'll whittle you, too.
Bryce Wolf, if you're not careful, he'll whittle you, too.
Extreme exfoliation. Dan brought up something earlier that... is kind of near and dear to my heart, and I think yours as well. They're potentially rebooting Tales from the Crypt.
Huh.
And it sounds like they got the original guy who voiced the Crypt Keeper back.
Good old John Cassier.
Well, it's easy to do when the guy that you got to do that is immortal, I'm assuming, or at least like a... He's kind of like a Nosferatu.
He's a Crypt Keeper.
I'm not referring just to like vampires in general, but like the specific role-playing world of, you know, like Malkavians and what have you. Like, he's obviously a Nosferatu. He's very hideous, but he's also...
Under the category of ghoul.
I'm sorry, under the category of what?
Ghoul?
He's ghoulish, I'd say. Like, ghoulish. He's ghoul curious.
Oh, God, you beat me to it.
There's the quick of the next, my friend. There's the quick of the next.
Here's the not to have a play on words here, but here's the twist. M. Night Shyamalan is behind it.
Okay, this can go one of two ways. It can either go really, really bad or really, really not so great. So,
but in all fairness, Tales from the Crypt was always about the twist endings.
True, yes.
The surprise, he's not actually dead. He was just faking it out.
And the thing is say what you will about M. Night, he is kind of the master of the twist. Although, I will say, until Split, you kind of really didn't see that shit coming.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole purpose of the, you know, the whole concept behind the twist. I kind of feel like this, like...
Have you seen Split?
I have not, no.
I won't spoil it for you, but this is the first movie in a long time where you actually don't see the twist coming.
From what I understand, and I had this ruined for me, kind of like the same way I had The Sixth Sense ruined for me, that it is kind of like, not quite a prequel, but like it's in the same universe as Unbreakable. Is that true?
Yes. It is, but that's
spoilers,
not the twist. That's kind of the add-on.
Yeah, a little bonus. Yeah.
And I do know that all the characters from Unbreakable are going to be in Split 2. He's bringing that all together.
Well, it was supposed to be a trilogy, Unbreakable, but it did so poorly at the box office by measure of account that the studio said, no, we're not doing
too. Yeah, but it found like major success on video and stuff.
After the fact, yeah.
Which is, and everyone's been clamoring for it, but with Split, have you seen Split?
Yes.
Okay. The twist in Split isn't that, like, there's nothing like so dramatic as like, oh, he's been dead the whole time or anything like that. The
spoilers.
Twist... Sorry, I assumed you'd seen Sixth Sense.
I have Sixth Sense.
The twist is he uses a baseball bat. The interesting twist in Split is that there really isn't a twist.
Okay, so you're just tap dancing.
I am. Right now. I really
am. Every last little bit of joy that I could have had. No, here's the thing though. When it comes to M. Night, Sixth Sense had such a massive. Success, because no one saw that coming until the very end. Maybe there's a couple of douchebags that says, "No, I totally understood. Like the first time I saw it, like I totally knew it was going to happen."
No,
fuck
you didn't, fucking liar.
Yeah, no one fucking did. I didn't even think Bruce Willis knew. And so someone had to explain, it's like, "Listen, okay, guy from Moonlighting, here's how this thing's going to go down. You're actually already dead." But anyway, so with that, and then what was he? It was The Sixth Sense, and then what was the movie after that one? Was it Signs?
I think Signs was the next really big one, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it kind of, first of all, Unbreakable was the first one, and the twist was that, he is actually a superhero. The bigger twist was is that Sam Jackson was actually pulling the strings.
And even bigger twist than that was, I went into watching Unbreakable under the assumption that I'm sure everybody else did in the theater, that at least at some point during the entire run of that goddamn movie that he would say motherfucker at least one time.
No, sir.
And he didn't. There was that one motherfucker in all of Unbroken.
That's not Mr. Glass's character, Unbreakable. Bro.
What's that?
He can't be Sam Jacksoning over every single role he does. Or else...
No, he can. He can and he should.
There was not a single motherfucker in any of the Star Wars prequels.
And then how well did that fucking work out, huh? So you want to talk to Anakin real quick, see how well that worked out?
Okay, I will say, had Mace Windu had Palpatine at his lightsaber point and called him a motherfucker, epic.
If there's one point,
like,
if only in the gag reel or the outtake reel, where there's just like a part where like Mace Windu walks in, he's got his bomber ass fucking purple lightsaber in his hand, he sparks it up, it extends and everything else, and there's just like a close up on his face, and he's like, I'm tired of these motherfucking Sith on this motherfucking intergalactic Congress. Done with it, and just he starts
laying
waste.
Little known fact, though, Mace Windu's lightsaber. There is some etching in it that does say bad motherfucker.
Yeah. No, I was watching, I found this thing on YouTube where, I don't know who came up with this brilliant idea, but it's celebrities answering Google questions, and they have no idea what the question is until like they have like this little paper board that they gets handed to them. And it's like, what is Samuel L. Jackson, and then blank, and they have to sort of peel it off. And like when you peel off the little thing, it'll have a little question that will appear in Google. And one of them was, what does Samuel L. Jackson's lightsaber say, or something like that? And he says, yeah, right there by the hilt, he had it, engraved to say bad motherfucker on it. Which, I mean, right there. If and when Mr. Jackson should ever perish from this mortal coil or get jettisoned out of the side of a gigantic building by an evil
Sith
Lord.
He's made of
Sith
the
Lord.
Same stuff as Betty White. He will live on and on and on.
Dude, if they could just fuck one time, oh my God.
It would
like
be
a
the
Betty White, Sam Jackson hybrid?
Yeah, we cannot put Betty White and Sam Jackson in the same room at the same time. It will just end the universe.
Yep. Kind of like matter and antimatter. So obviously Betty White's white. Her name is White, for fuck's sake. Samuel Jackson, if you spell it backwards, actually spells out bad motherfucker. if you're bad at phonics or what have you. But I mean, I'm saying, like, if we could somehow get like one of her eggs. First we're going to build a time machine. Okay, first we build a time machine, then we go back in time to back when Betty still had fertile eggs.
What are you talking about?
Get one of her eggs, harvest it.
Oh, yeah, dude, come on.
She can crank it, or she just chooses not to.
Dude, I'm saying.
Come on, bro.
What? I would still, to this day, if she walks in the room, I'm just going to put every ounce of game that I have on Betty White. I'm just going to do it. All bets are off.
She is so fertile. If Jim actually got on her, she would have like six of his kids.
Oh God,
that's how fertile she is.
Oh,
even,
without doubt.
Even if Jim's sperm is like nothing,
it'd be big whites.
Big whites.
I didn't hear that, but I kind of feel insulted. You guys sound like you're in the back seat of a very long car. Like I can barely hear.
Because we're cruising, dude.
Well, the thing I've got my phone set up on a pill bottle in front of a mic, so you're registering.
Okay.
But it's
I'm
not
a,
next
wait,
to
I'm
my...
I'm registered?
Yes.
I'm registered?
You are a registered meat offender.
Okay, so this show is over with. Thanks, guys, so much for calling me. I have to go now. In accordance with Megan's meat law, I'm required to inform you I'm not allowed to broadcast over
Actually, wouldn't it be Oscar Mayer's law?
It was. Actually, it said Johnsonville. In accordance with Johnsonville. Which is a much finer quality of meat molestation, is in my opinion.
It is, and you don't have to spell it out when you go door to door.
Yeah. See, the thing is, anyone that overhears these conversations that doesn't know the backstory about that whole thing, they're probably like, oh, what the fuck are they talking about?
No, anyone listening knows all about it.
No, I'm referring to like the my neighbors. Like I'm sitting out back of my house right now. I'm next to a very large parking lot.
You haven't told them?
And well, they know. Trust me, they know. They know how.
The
no one goes near 714.
Right.
Every summer, they know.
I can smell it.
What are you doing back there? Marinating some meat.
Meat is in the air. Meat is in the air. Every time he comes around.
He can feel it coming in your meat tonight.
Dun, 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 dun. Dude, didn't even wait for the rest of the song. Straight to the solo. I love it.
Well, come on. I mean, that's the only reason people listen to that fucking... If that drum fucking fill was not in that song, not nearly as popular as it could have been.
That's how Jim starts, too. Like, he plays that song to get himself in the mood.
I don't use my hands.
When that drum fill comes on, he's built deep.
I do that drum fill, but I never use my hands. Emphasis on the fill, by the way.
Nice.
And when the fill's over, he's done.
Well, I'm spent. Takes me anywhere from about 3 to 3.5 minutes to actually get to full, you know,
Collins?
Saute.
Full Collins.
Full glaze. Collins. I guess full glaze would be a proper reference to that. Again, I hear your judgment. I don't like it at all.
I'm just never going to your place for a barbecue. That's just...
Well, that's your loss. That's your loss. If you ever want to get your mouth...
You can come over to my place for a barbecue, though, buddy.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to just... Oh, the thing is going to do to your grill. I would actually get two grills.
Dude, it's my Weber kettle, bro.
Oh,
it's set.
Yeah.
It's ready.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. It's your Weber. Yeah. I'm going to make Weber into a verb. I'm going to Weber right there.
I'm Weber. Just Weber all over it.
Weber the shit.
Jim, do you need a moment?
No, fine. I'm good. I'm good, bro.
I feel like we're cutting into your sexy time or something, you know?
Bite your lip and give it hell, bro.
The meat's not the same on this coast, okay? The funny thing is, I live, let's see here. Let's count the blocks real quick. See, there's St. Joe, Poplar. There's So there's like three blocks between me and a factory known as Kunzler Meats. And every summer, man, this whole hill, it's called Cabbage Hill for whatever reason, because German immigrants settled here originally, and so every Friday, for whatever reason, was Cabbage Night. And so the entire city would reek of boiled cabbage, which is why people don't come to Lancaster for any fucking reason. You end up here. You don't come here willingly. But Kunzler is a very large, very popular meat rendering plant here in Lancaster. And I actually worked for them for a while until I was let go for unrelated reasons. Well, no need to go into that.
No, but, I think we do.
Pretty sure the corned beef wasn't corned for the right reason.
Oh, it was corned. Oh, it was so corned. It was double corned. That was the problem.
It was
the only one
to
single corning.
I was getting there.
I was at full Weber when I corned that thing. Just saying.
Full Weber.
Full Weber. I mean, capital W, capital Eber. Just getting in it. But when you see the place from the outside, and people have driven past it like every single day, it looks like a normal kind of factory type of thing. And when you work there, like you walk in, and like there's like, you know, offices, everything else on the first floor. But all the actual, the fun stuff, all the meeting, if you will, takes place underground. And so you get led to like this door that leads to a stairwell that goes like deep into the underground.
The first rule and of Rendering Club is you do not talk about Rendering Club.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Don't talk about Rendering Club.
You've broken the first and second rule, Jim.
Shame.
Well, you know, well, that's why they fired me. And that and the other things
really?
That I did.
That's why they fired
that's
me.
That's why?
Yeah, because I talked about Meat Club is what it was. First rule of Meat Club is, first of all,
pretty
wash
sure
your hands.
The
that's the first rule.
Yeah, I'm with Dan on this. I'm pretty sure it was the full Weber.
As you cornhold the corned beef, that's just, you know, it's unprofessional.
Why does it always come back to Jim's love of meat?
Why does it ever leave? That's my question. Why do we leave? We should just stay here. It's warm, it's savory, it's familiar.
It's a little salty.
Well, it depends, you know. Depends on
this
your
glaze. This is the
glaze.
Same guy, when he gets drunk, used to go around and tell people to hit him in the stomach.
Oh, Jesus. Look, that was a long, long time ago. All right, I have not done that in at least a week and a half. So just, no, just
he's
judgment,
an amazing comedian. He's a substandard father.
Substandard father.
We'll call mediocre.
Can I give them a business card? Jim Willick, substandard father. Mama's boy.
He's a giving human being, and yet we always talk about his love of meat. There's so much more to Jim that we can talk about.
Yeah, but he saves it for paying gigs.
It's true. And therapy.
Or therapy.
That too.
Or therapy. Which ironically happens at a steak and sea house, which is kind of strange. I don't know why we have to meet there. It's a discount therapy thing. I got it on Groupon. I got like 17 more sessions before I actually have to buy like an entree or something.
Jim, did you hear, this just broke a little bit earlier today, that Scaramucci is out as communications director in the White House after only 2 weeks?
First of all, Scaramucci sounds like a really bad Pokemon character. Can we just sort of start there?
I did catch a Scaramucci on Pokemon Go. It was really easy to do.
And now every 3 weeks you have a Coulsar, strangely enough. I don't know why that's a thing. But
well,
yeah,
I
heard
what
about
Fallon
that.
Said. It was like Scaramucci is showing the world what a Ken doll would look like if he came from the Jersey Shore.
Or a Ken doll if it had like a panel van with no windows. Just there's a lot going on there that we don't know.
In the back, baby.
Exactly. There's a lot going on there that we don't know about, but we could really easily assume is actually truth and fact that goes on in that guy's life. My mom saw him for the first time. She's like, he looks like one of those mafia guys from The Sopranos. I'm just like, it's...
That was the big joke everyone was saying when he took over as communications director. Like, his line always to the press was, don't worry about it.
We don't talk about it. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, okay? All right?
I work for Big Don. Don't worry about it.
I work for the Big Meat Corporation, okay? So just fill up a truck. Don't ask any fucking stupid questions, okay? Next question. Stupid fucking question. I don't like your hat. You. The chick with the tits and the legs. You talk.
Yo, hey, you. Sugar tits.
Well, I just feel bad. You know who I feel bad for? I mean, aside from my country and my future as a whole.
I was going to say.
But I feel really bad for SNL because, I mean, with Spicer, they had such a rich character that they could play with. And Melissa McCarthy, I don't know who the mastermind was that figured out, you know what, if we just took Melissa McCarthy and just put her in some fucked up makeup and a wig.
You know, it was probably Melissa McCarthy who said, you know, I love what fucking Baldwin's doing. I want in.
Yeah. Find a way. Get me in there somehow. Like, all right, well, turns out we've got this wig and all this meat, so balls in your court there, lady. See what you can do.
See, it almost feels like Saturday Night Live doesn't even have the material anymore. They're like, guys, they're making fun of themselves. Like, right now, stupidest shit you've ever seen in your life.
Government is to SNL what Cyril Rabbit was to the First Viewing Commentary.
Was that on my SATs? I think it was. It feels like it was. Probably got that one wrong. I don't test well. I'm more of like a hands-on kind of guy. But no, I mean, they really like this. I think SNL is really just as good as the country that they're ensconced in for the most part. Because whenever something comes up, they have this wellspring of ideas, and it's so easy to kind of like cap on. But when things are going fairly okay, like during the Obama years, can you remember any good sketches that came out of that 8 years? I can't.
And honestly, that's my big problem with Saturday Night Live is their humor is almost solely wrapped around political standpoints. For me, it seems to be their best stuff is either political or they just drill it into the dirt until it's not funny.
Which is sad because, you know, in their heyday, like they're, well, one of their heydays, I mean, they've been around for fucking ever and a day.
Right.
But when they would get into like the weird and the absurd, like the fucking Coneheads, like who would have thought of some shit like that? Oh, Dan Aykroyd did, you know. And God damn, I can't remember her name, but
Dan Aykroyd,
yeah. But like all those like really off the wall, completely rando sketches that they had were born out of just like complete absurdity, and they just stood the test of time. Fucking the Coneheads was on TV the other day, and it's for me, it's one of those movies where if it's the first 5 or the last 5 minutes of the movie, I'm dialed in. I don't care. I'm going to watch that shit because, to me, it's just, it's so stupid and so random. It's just hilarious to me.
Well, it's because it's genuinely funny. It came out of genuine comedy that was just taking situational awareness and making a goof on it. And then,
yeah,
I mean,
it didn't have to rely on...
What was it, Bill Murray and... Oh, who the fuck was it? Just standing up on stage looking at the audience going, what the hell is that? Oh, I know what that is.
Oh, Steve Martin.
Yeah. What the hell is that?
I know what that is.
What is it?
What is it?
What the hell is that thing? And it was just the stupidest sketch that lasted like maybe, what, 5-6 minutes? Genius.
Yeah.
Or things
or,
like,
Bob
mean,
and Dave.
You're talking the heyday when it was, you know, the first 3 or 4 years when it was on. You're talking like some of the greatest comedians of their time. And, you know, politics wasn't so funny then. I mean, the country wasn't as fucking chaotic as it is now. Nowadays, the writers are, you know, they're trying to write sketches based on politics, and they can't write fast enough because every fucking day, it's something new.
And not even every day. It's like multiple times during that same day. So you're trying your best to keep one plate of spinning. And then 4 more plates pop up, and you're like, well, fuck, man, I can't, I don't know how to stay on target because there's just so many targets coming at me. But to go back to, you know, like you said, like the first couple of seasons when it was the not quite ready for primetime players, when it was them, I can't speak with 100%, you know, authority on this, but I felt like back then the actors had more of a control over the sketches that they were doing. And so it felt like there wasn't so much relying on the writers to give them stuff to say and, like, you know, direction to do. This was coming out of their own, you know, personalities, which is why they felt so much more genuine as opposed to nowadays where it feels very disposable. Like, you know, yeah, it might be funny, but it's not going to stand the test of time. You're not going to be sitting here like 20 years from now or 30 or 50 years from now watching a sketch about, you know, well, okay, so there are obviously exceptions to the rule, like with the seasons where you had the cowbell sketch and stuff like that, those will obviously stand the test of time.
Yeah,
but for the most part, a lot of it's just very disposable. It doesn't really kind of, you know, hold on. Like, there's one sketch from the old days of it's a breakfast cereal commercial, and it's for a cereal called Quarry, and it's just rocks in a box. And this wholesome family sitting down to breakfast, and they're just pouring rocks into a bowl and pouring milk over it, and just the sound effect of people trying to chew rocks is just, it's disturbing, but it's hilarious at the same time.
Well,
and it's one of those ones where, like, I will throw that down to this day against anything that SNL has coming out, you know, that is not politically oriented this coming week, for the most part.
Well,
so
those sketches that you're talking about were, in the respects, timeless because they weren't dating themselves. You know, they were very broad. They were very open to, you can play a lot of these skits, you know, 20 years into the future, and they're still fucking funny, especially if you don't know them, because they don't have a time stamp on them. They don't reference a superstar who fucked up yesterday or a politician who said something stupid yesterday. In 20 years, nobody's going to give a fat, roasty shit about either one of those two.
No, I agree with you. I think the only thing that dates those skits is the fashion.
Well, yeah. We're two wild and crazy guys.
Well, not even that. I mean, just what Jim was saying, that whatever they're wearing on the Quarry cereal sketch, I mean, that's, you know, it's either 70s, 80s, you know, whatever. Yeah. That's the only thing that would date it, you know? But they also have skits like The Delicious Dish.
Oh, yeah.
The Sweaty Balls. That is fucking time. You don't need, that's one of those videos you don't even need the video, you just need the audio for that, and it's fucking perfect. You know,
and the thing is, like, a lot of times SNL would kind of rely on characters like Chris Farley, where he's like, I'm gonna beat you over the head with this premise, and you may not go along with it initially, but by the time I'm done, just like full-on UFC style, like cage fighting you into laughter, you're gonna love it and you're gonna remember it forever. The Sweaty Ball sketch was so quiet and so subtle in their approach, and you're just sitting there, and you're just, it's one of those, when you do stand-up, there's a mindset that some comics have, which is, if you're dealing with a raucousy crowd, don't try and shout over them, because that just encourages them to be louder. What you do is you go the opposite way. You go quiet, so they have to shut the fuck up so they can hear what it is that you're saying. And with the Shreddy Ball sketch, it's just so brilliant in the fact that it's obviously it's a very awesome PBS style or OPB style bit, but it's so quiet and so unassuming, and they're not trying to go for the rafters. They're just trying to like hit you middle of the road, but you're through the roof laughing your head off because this is so on point and so perfect.
Mm-hmm. And if they hadn't done what they did with Shweaty Balls and then followed up with Shweaty Wiener, and then the best one still to me, even more so than Shweaty Balls, is Betty White with her Dusty Muffin.
Oh, God.
That...
First of all, my erection just went down, and now it's back up.
You went full Weber?
No, dude. I was a tripod. I was like, the coals were just that perfect kind of like, you know, like the glowing. Yeah.
Speaking of Shweaty Balls.
And it just finally died down.
That sketch to me, I know Shweaty Balls is held up as the, you know, the pinnacle, but yeah. Dusty Muffin is way funnier.
Which, ironically enough, is my CB handle. If you ever, if you have like a ham radio, or if you're a trucker, anywhere.
Hey, Dusty Muffin, come on back now.
Hey, it's Dusty Muffin. You got your ears on there? All right, now you got some Smokies on the trail. We got ourselves a convoy. We're heading over to Betty White's house. We're gonna have a good old time. Just follow Dusty Muffin. But speaking of the absurd, I had gone over to my friend Nate's house. His name is not Nate. I just stuttered there
Damn
for some reason.
Beat me again.
Or Nate Squared, as I call him. crippling stutter, the poor guy. But no, like, we're hanging out there, and I'm downstairs with him. Malia's upstairs with Nate's wife, Lori, and they're watching this the stand-up special on Hulu or one of the fucking, you know, one of the channels. But, and they're howling with laughter. We don't have no idea what they're watching.
They're watching.
But
porn.
we're playing these Wii shooting games, and like we're trying to concentrate on killing chickens because it's Chicken Riot was the name of the game, which is kind of hilarious. Oh, and so we're playing this game, and we're having a hard time concentrating because they're laughing so hard. Eventually, you know, the special gets over with. Malia heads home. I'm hanging out there afterwards, and Nate's like, "Hey, you want to watch this movie?" I haven't watched it before, but I heard a lot of good things. It's called Mastermind. And I'm like, okay, who's in it? He's like, Zach Galifianakis, Kristen Wiig, and Owen Wilson. I'm like, okay, stop drilling. You've hit interest. Fucking put it on. And I can't tell you, man, like, I've not laughed this hard at a movie, and I can't tell you how long.
It's on Netflix right now. I've yet to watch it, but it's on my queue.
Dude, trust me. It's
Is it that good?
It's that good.
Well, I have a full
B,
Weber.
It's oh, dude, it's a King Weber right there, in my personal opinion. The meat cooks and fucks itself, I'm just saying.
Well, that's not fun.
Well, I mean, it's fun to watch. But no, so basically, I'm not going to give too much away here, but the whole thing is based on a real true story, and it's about this guy who worked as a armored car driver who gets conned into robbing not only the truck, but like the warehouse where all the cash is kept. And it is the largest heist in U.S. history. $17 million was stolen. And eventually, because it's about just these bumbling fucking mental mongoloids, it's just, it's off the charts. But at the end, the guy that got conned, who also, you know, committed the crime, he went to prison for about 7 years, but he's out now. He was one of the consultants on the movie. At the very end, while they're rolling credits, they're showing pictures of Zach Galifianakis and the guy who he's portraying. Owen Wilson plays this jerk who manipulates Zach Galifianakis' character into doing that as well, and they show a picture of the two of them side by side. And it's kind of like the end of Animal House, where they're like, you know, and you know, so and so went on to do this, and so went on to do that. But oh my God, dude, it's one of those movies that's so stupid, but yet true to life, and just God, I can't even put it into words. It was flipping hilarious. And of course, you got Kristen Wiig, who, in my opinion, it was like, it was, oh, and what's her name? The black woman from the Ghostbusters movie, also from SNL. And it's a Lorne Michaels film. So, I mean, right there, we got the SNL connection as a whole. But they were like one character away from a Ghostbusters reunion on this film. And it just came out last year. The only one that wasn't in that movie was Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, wow.
From that. And Thor. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Anyway. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, speaking of really funny movies, I just saw Bad Santa 2.
Ooh.
And I feel really stupid because I've not seen Bad Santa 1.
Oh. Oh, well, dude, then you got totally out of context.
I fucking totally suck. But I'll tell you, after watching it, I really want to see the first one. I was laughing so goddamn hard.
Dude. If you want to watch Billy Bob Thornton beat the shit out of some like teenagers, you know, and not feel bad about it, like, you know, this is just primo shit.
Yeah. It was legit. Bad Santa 2, I feel like it wasn't as good as it could have been, but it's got that really hot redhead Christina Hendricks.
Oh, yeah.
And she is nasty in it, and I loved every minute she was on screen.
Well, in the first one, and again, this isn't giving anything away, but the romantic interest for the Billy Bob Thornton character is, I can't remember the name of the actress.
It's the gal from Gilmore Girls.
She was the mom from Gilmore Girls?
Yeah.
And so prior to that, she's just been like the squeaky, clean kind of like, you know, sitcom. And then in this one, like her, like, well, in the first one, and again, not giving anything away, but her catch line is "fuck me, Santa." And she is just like horned up for guys in Santa costumes, so.
Yeah, they kind of revisit that in Bad Santa 2.
There you go.
Yeah, Billy Bob has trouble getting off unless someone says "fuck me, Santa."
But yeah,
it's
so Dan. Awesome. What's the last Dan? What's the last comedy that you've watched that just left you in utter stitches?
Ooh,
the last time the band recorded.
Well, that was pretty fucking funny. Sad.
That's funny. Not a movie.
Tragic. Yeah, you know. Hilarious. You know, honestly, I think the last movie I watched that had me laughing the hardest was Grabbers. It's a horror movie that takes place in Ireland, and the idea is that this alien tentacle monster falls from the sky.
And Grabbers?
Yeah, Grabbers.
Dude, I fucking saw that shit. You're right.
Hilarious. I saw that. Awesome.
Yes. I tried to get Don Frost to watch it. He's like, no, you... Because I watch a lot of bad independent movies and just bad movies in general. And a lot of times I suggested those to Don to watch. And I'm like, dude, you got to watch Grabbers. It's hilarious. It's like the small town. Right. And they get inundated with like the tentacle monster. It's kind of like The Mist. If the Mist infested like this like drunken Irish town.
Yeah, and it was allergic to alcohol. Right there.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's hilarious.
It's wonderful, though. It's such a great movie, but it had me laughing my ass off. Because I was like, you know, most of the time people have, you know, the stereotype of Irish people and how shit-faced hammered they like to get all the time. And this movie is just like, we filmed it in Ireland. This is filmed by Irish people. This shit's fucking funny. And
oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, you know what? It is.
Highly recommend it, yeah.
But, yeah, that was probably the last movie that had me really rolling. I'm trying to remember, because I think I went to the theater. Oh, Keanu. Was the last comedy that I watched that had me rolling pretty good.
I heard that was very overrated.
Well, I like Key and Peele's comedy in general.
They asked why.
So their movie just was like a really long Key and Peele skit.
Which, as we've learned from a lot of SNL skits that turn into movies, can either be like awesome, i.e. Wayne's World, or really, really horrible, like Night at the Roxbury. Like, there's that... Or, what was that one that, what's his name was in? The little guy that he plays the,
Corky Romano?
Corky Romano, thank you. I didn't have to actually give any clues, and you knew what the fuck I was talking about. Corky Romano.
I will say, every time I see a passant drive by, I always call it a pissant. So, you know, I got one takeaway from that movie.
Yeah.
That was it.
The only thing from that movie I liked was him at the door. You guys want some cookies?
The only thing I liked was when his mobster brothers showed up to whoop some ass of the guys who had taken their brother, and they were doing it to "We're not gonna take it." It was like, all right, yeah, I'll buy that.
Oh, real quick, just to throw back to what I was saying about Masterminds and the fact that it's a Lorne Michaels film, so that there's a lot of SNL characters in it. I gotta say this, Jason Sudeikis as a fucking straight up badass. You would never see that coming, but he plays that shit to the hilt. Like, oh, he's hilarious, and he's just a total ass kicker the whole time. I gotta say, and dumber than a bag of paint, but still, like, it's a mixed bag. So you gotta watch Mastermind. So that's my giveaway. Jim gives it 2 big porterhouses way up, just a tip.
Porterhouse. Wow.
Yeah, top shelf, baby, all the way.
Jim, this is Dan and I started throwing around an idea, and God damn it, Jim, I really wish you were still here in Portland. We talked about bringing back commentaries, but not like we used to do them with the comedy. We were going to start watching like horror movies and kind of breaking them down.
Thank you. Yes. What's that?
I'm sorry. I was talking
to my roommate / my mom.
Hi, mom.
We were talking about the idea of revisiting commentaries, but changing it up and just doing straight up horror commentaries and talking about why it's a good film, why it's a terrible film, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And one of the ideas we had was one commentary we'd watch the original movie, and then the next one we'd watch the reboot of it. Because there are so many reboots of horror classics that'd be Friday interesting. The 13th, and I don't Halloween. Know that it's ever been done, you know, kind of comparing and contrasting and picking out strengths. We kind of bonded. We were talking about the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot versus the original. And, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of both. And I know you're a huge
fan.
Go ahead.
I think one of the biggest weaknesses of the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot was at no point during that film was there just like a scene, like, you know, in the boiler room area, like the camera's kind of panning through and the, like, you know, kinds of like the metal scraping on metal sound. You never once hear Krueger's journal, date October 14th. Got into some little girl's dream last night. Fucking My Little Ponies or something like that. I don't know. There should have been.
Why did Freddy Krueger sound like Batman?
It's Rorschach as Batman doing Freddy Krueger. That's again, the layers. Fine through the layers.
It just sounded like Batman getting ready to go to karaoke, which I love, by the way.
I hope they play my song tonight.
It's a callback to an old Court and Fat Boy podcast for Jim and Fat Boy.
One of the hands down episodes.
Funniest goddamn episodes. If you can find
that
it.
That just still cripples me to this day, and it's just it's Fat Boy and me just like going back and forth, and just, you know,
doing karaoke as Christian Bale as Batman. Oh my God!
Well, something else, kind of along the lines of what you suggested about the whole movie commentary, comparing and contrasting reboots and what have you. Chronicles of the Nerd used to do the nerd fights. As we all know, and I was lucky enough to be on one of their last, supposedly one of their last podcast, one of their last nerd fights. Me and Don, and Ellen Bethel, and Ibrahim, and Scott Daly, and a bunch of other cats. But I love the idea of taking a bunch of nerds that just this is our bread and fucking butter, and giving us a free rein to not only get our opinions out there, but also tear apart each other in such a horror. Like, these were my friends at one point in time. By the end of the show, I'm just like, if I see you on the street, I will not break. If I'm driving a car, I will just plow through you, you motherfucker. I was on YouTube the other day, and I subscribed to one of the channels. It's called Screen Junkies, and Screen Junkies.
Oh, I love Screen Junkies. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Honest trailers and shit like that. Yeah. I mean, just off the board. But they had, it wasn't called Nerd Fight, it was just called, I think it was just called Fight, I guess. And it was the two main guys from Screen Junkies, a fact checker gal who I believe was Irish or Scottish. That's same kilt, different pube, whatever the fuck it is.
Skyrish.
Smoking hot redhead. So, I mean, James, I know you're already on board.
Yeah.
But they had, it was at a con, and so they had two celebrities on the panel to debate these various topics, and it was Kevin Smith and Elijah Wood.
Ooh.
And, dude, it's an hour long. I put it up on fucking Facebook, and this just, oh man, I was like, I was so just, I got hooked real quick and real hard. I was just like so into the concept, but it wasn't kind of, it wasn't the same way that Mikey Nielsen and the Chronicles of the Nerd used to do, which is, okay, who is better, this person or that person? Which character is, you know, more badass, this character or that character? It was more an opinion piece, like which is the scariest scene in a movie? Which is one movie that if you could blink out of existence, what would that be? Those were the questions they were asking on this particular nerd fight. I think maybe if we could integrate that into the show so that we end one show or one debate with that, and then like we lead into the next show with, okay, so next week we're going to be talking about blank. Next week we're going to talk about, like, you know, our favorite, this, that, or the other. And then we go around in the circle. We let each person get their full opinion out before anybody else jumps on them. And then at the end, it's just like a bloodbath of just tearing each other, like, you know, like viscera and carnage and just awesomeness. Because that,
so
I
like
think
a
is
normal
truly
show.
Where nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only Jim's not, like, the only target.
Again, judgment. Not a fan. Not a fan. Still not a fan. Don't like it at all.
No, you know what? I like it. We'll have to put our heads together metaphorically and figure out like a first topic and kind of toss it around. I like it. I think this show needs more debate.
Because we agree too often. We are
really
just like on the same page.
We just really do.
Yeah.
But no, I think you're right. I think as far as the crew on this show goes, we all have our favorite movies, our favorite pop culture things, and I think we could get some pretty strong debate. And I don't think it would be where it's all of us against, you know, one another. I think in a lot of ways, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know how well this will work because so much of the stuff we like, we all tend to agree on.
That's true and not true at the same time. We call that a paradox, if you will. I have a word of the day, a toilet paper roll, that I'm almost at the very end of. Paradox was today's square that I used to, you know, cleanse my my meat
stick
situation. But okay, so something like we'll take horror movies for example. Okay, so next week the topic will be, let's just say, like Friday the 13th, and the conversational pieces will be stuff like, who is, what's the best way to stop Jason, or if ever there could be like a romantic interest for Jason, who would that be and why, or which was the best installment of Friday the 13th? Is there anyone better than Kane Hodder to play Jason in the Friday the 13th movies? Stuff along those lines. So, I mean, you can, we can all agree that we love a specific genre or a specific, what do they call that? A grouping of movies.
Genre?
Anyone?
Bueller? I think you're right there. We have to keep it to one specific thing. So if we're going to take your suggestion, which I like, and just do, focus on Friday the 13th and come up with like a list of, questions that we can address.
Totally.
No, I
like
it.
And we can open it up.
I'm going to write it all down, and we will save it for our next show.
You're not bringing Dan. Does he even have a pen in his hand? Dan, seriously, is he just bullshit? He's not writing anything down.
It's not in my hand.
Oh.
I was gonna say it's kind of hard to describe from this end here, buddy. I'm sitting next to him. I'd like not to get stabbed with it, how he's holding it.
No, James has a prehensile Cronenberg-esque kind of taint that it can sort of use as like a lemur's tail that
so
helps with balance.
Seen
it's,
it.
It's dexterous. Yeah.
Oh, the things he's done to it.
But But no, like, and also we can open it up, you know, we can sort of, you know, tease it during the week via Facebook and or social media and be like, you know, hey, if there is a question or a concept that you want us to discuss, throw it in the comments below. We'll harvest the best of those. We'll give props to the person that asked those questions, and we'll either, you know, validate the question or tear them apart. But this also this will be a good way to sort of, you know, perpetuate larger listenership all the way around. Bam. Drops mic, walks off stage. Fuck you,
got
where's
two
my
weeks
meat?
In a row, his mic dropped off this show.
I'm getting webbered. I'm getting webbered right now.
You know what, Jim? I give that idea 3 porterhouses.
Mm. Hey, you know what? Don't say it if you're not gonna, like, you know, I'm saying, like, I don't toy with my meat, bro. Don't
I give it 3 porterhouses wrapped in bacon.
And the erection is back again a third time. Wow, this is better than Viagra. God damn.
It's a busy day, isn't it?
Thank you.
And with that erection, I'm calling this show well done.
And with that erection should be the name of the show.
Thank you all for listening. Next week we are off because James cannot be here.
Jerk. You just refer to yourself in third person?
I do. You know that.
The James.
James has always referred to himself in third person. And Jim and you know, doesn't
Jim
like him to question
that.
Or judge him.
Big Jim never liked that whole thing. It just it's stuck in his craw.
Yeah. Okay, once again, we'll be back in 2 weeks, and we will address so many questions and probably leave each other...
Create a lot more.
In puddles of shame.
A little raw.
Puddles of Shame is the name of the show, right there.
No, that's what we're going to call our version of Nerd Fight. Puddles of Shame.
Puddles of Shame.
Jim, as always, it is fantastic to talk to you, brother.
Thank you guys so much. I greatly appreciate it. And Dan?
Yes, sir.
Dan, keep that barbecue warm for me, brother. I'll be by soon. I promise
always.
You that. I will
always
defile.
Cooking, sweetheart.
And I'm just going to say,
thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.